Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas here. It's Naturally Green and at SaverLife.com. And we had a change in the forecast for this week. So up until just a couple of days ago, we were going to avoid any frosts. And now it looks like Wednesday night, perhaps 30 degrees in Rochester. And that means probably colder outside of Rochester. Usually significantly colder. For example, Wednesday night, they're predicting 28 in Avon, where Perlmutter's Garden Nursery is located. So they'll have they probably still have their peppers. They propagate a lot of peppers each year for transplants and for their own gardens to sell at the public market later in the summer. And they have probably kept those in the greenhouse anyway already. At this point, because they realize that frosts are fairly likely at this point, even though we've had milder weather here lately, it is likely that we'll have frost. And it seems like this Wednesday, 28 degrees is more of a freeze than a frost. And so the further you are away from Rochester and away from the lakes, you may need to protect some plants that you've put in. The violas and pansies that I put in a couple weeks ago will probably be fine at 30 degrees and probably be fine at 28 degrees too. If you just took them out of a greenhouse, a day ago, they might not appreciate that transition to 28 degrees, or I said maybe 30 degrees in Rochester. So it kind of depends where you got your plants and when you planted them and where they're located. You could throw a old sheet over them or a piece of plastic for Wednesday night. The other nights seem, in the more in the upper 30s and low 40s. So it's really just Wednesday night we have to worry about. But it seems like every year, the frost-free date is May 15th for our area. And it seems like every year there's at least close to a frost right around that date, like the 13th or the 14th of May. So we still have nearly a month when frosts can occur. So, nurseries have some plants that might be a little tender. Beware of those. Cool weather crops, they'll be fine. I've got spinach and peas that are growing several inches high in my garden. So Wednesday night, I may throw a tarp over them for the night, just to hedge my bets. But I think they would probably be fine. Again, they are intended for cooler weather. And 30 degrees is, the problem with the forecast is it's just a forecast. So, it could be 28 in Rochester rather than 30 degrees. And it could change between now and then in terms of the forecast. So you kind of have to protect them based on, a range of scenarios, not just what the forecast says. And also the forecast maybe for an area not all that close to you, depending on if you live outside of Rochester, but you're looking at a Rochester forecast, then it may not be accurate for where you are. So beware of Wednesday night. Otherwise, we seem to be good up till then and after that. But again, through May 15th, we still need to keep an eye on things. And it was some devastating news from France in terms of frosts. They went from some weather in the 80s to, I think, 22 degrees within a week. And now they're facing some huge losses in the vineyards in France. And often it's, one of the regions or, an area that has a severe damage. This looks like a massive area. Burgundy, Bordeaux, Champagne, and a bunch of other regions affected by this freeze. They were setting out smudge pots, and lighting fires, things to try to get the air moving. They're not literally trying to heat the air. They're just, when you light a fire, it creates like convection currents. And so the air is going up. It sucks in air around it. And you want to keep the cold air from settling, and the coldest air from settling. And that's why they light fires and have wind machines in some of the vineyards. So France, we'll talk a little bit more about it on the wine show tomorrow, but some major areas of France facing a devastating season before it even begins. You know, it's these vines were lured into the buds starting to open by the warm weather, and then before we could see any leaves or grapes, frost has done some severe damage. So it's a reminder of how fickle Mother Nature is and how challenging it is to be a farmer of anything. Now, that's, corn or grapes or strawberries. There's just so many unknowns about what Mother Nature will bring every year. So when I read about that, things like what's happened in France makes me appreciate the risks that our farmers take and the weather that they work in and the precautions that they take to keep those crops alive here in our area. Cornell Cooperative Extension of Monroe County has a workshop coming up this Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. It is free. It's about, it's an urban berry workshop. So you want to learn about growing some berries in small spaces and smaller quantities. This might be perfect. The workshop is free, but you have to register in advance. It's via Zoom. And you can go to their website or look them up on Facebook for the link to register. And there's a lot of great tips I think they'll be able to give you on having some success with strawberries and blueberries and raspberries. And there are lots of different options for berries that you can grow in small spaces. I've had strawberries for many years. Those are something I grew up with in our home garden and actually have some, progeny of those original strawberries from my parents' house. It's a variety called Sparkle, which gives you delicious, fairly large berries only in the, early summer, say spring, but it's really early summer, generally around the second week of June. But there are ever-bearing varieties, and they don't produce as much at one time, but they do produce some all summer long. And there are, there's probably hundreds of varieties of strawberries. You can probably find a dozen varieties here in our area between different garden centers. Bristol's Garden Center often has 4 to 6 varieties, sometimes more, of strawberries. And they're great plants. They have pretty white flowers, bloom kind of early, great fall color. The robins and the squirrels do love those berries, so don't expect to necessarily get a lot of them unless you put nets over them, and they'll probably talk about that in this urban berry workshop Monday night. So April 19th, 6 to 8 p.m. Again, it's free, and it might inspire you to plant some berries, and you may not realize how many dwarf varieties there are, thornless varieties. Of course, strawberries are thornless, but raspberries and blackberries, black raspberries, there are many different kinds you can grow. And Sarah's Garden Center has been carrying a really nice selection of different berries, especially in the raspberries. So some very compact ones, And again, thornless, many of them. But also, like, they probably have some heirloom ones. The sparkle strawberry that I mentioned is an heirloom strawberry variety. They also, Sarah's has a nice selection of blueberries. And as you'll probably learn if you go to the workshop via Zoom on Monday night, you need to have at least three different varieties of blueberries to cross-pollinate. You also need very acid soils, which is probably the biggest challenge to finding a good spot to plant blueberries. If you have clay, you should forget blueberries unless you put them in like a half wine barrel or something, you know, it's just sort of separate soil, because generally sandier soils are going to be more acid. But Quinnell can test your soil, and you can figure out exactly what you're dealing with. You can get little pH test strips sometimes, and they can be a little hard to read, and I'm not sure they're incredibly accurate. For a really nominal amount of money, Quinnell can test the pH of your soil, and that's going to tell you, where you stand in terms of growing blueberries, and also perhaps rhododendrons and azaleas and some of the other plants that like more acidic soil. Because you can't just rely on, sandy soil versus clay soil. Those are massive generalizations. And most people's soil falls kind of in between that. Here I live in the city of Rochester, we have sort of a layer of pretty good topsoil, and then down maybe a foot is a pretty serious layer of clay in some areas in my yard. Clay that seems like you might be able to make pots with. I mean, it's... And I don't think it's... I haven't really dug down deep enough to see how far it goes. It may be a layer of clay. It doesn't mean that, it's clay down for 10 feet. But we have a decent layer on top. And with all that clay underneath, I haven't really tried blueberries in our yard. I'd love to have them. That's another fruit that the birds really love. So you probably will have to net them if you grow them. But, you will get some, and that's one of the challenges of growing them in an urban situation. You can't plant as many of any of these, and so, a few birds can do more damage than they could on a farm or an area where, you've got acres of strawberries or raspberries. But there are a lot of new options in terms of the varieties that you can grow. Some of them have some really cute names that I thought the ones at Sarah's Garden Center, just some of them, the names are so cute, you might want to plant them just because it'd be fun to tell people the names of these things. Really kind of fun play on desserts and these little dwarf berries. So as I've said a bunch of times lately, grow more edible things in your yard. Grow them so the birds can eat them. Grow them so you can have a few. Grow them so you can just kind of learn about them, appreciate them more, appreciate what our farmers do to grow them and harvest them in amounts that they can sell at the farmers markets. And by the way, the Brighton Farmers Market is open for early spring hours, just I guess 10 to noon on Sundays until we get to the second weekend of May or so. But 10 to noon at the outdoor Brighton High School parking lot, the Brighton Farmers Market just opened last Sunday for the first time this year. And I think as the pandemic wanes, they'll go back to a winter market next winter, but did not really do a winter market this winter. So plant more edible things in your yard. Get rid of some grass, plant some shrubs and trees that have edible berries. The shad trees are just blooming. There's some in bloom in Highland Park. White flowers, they are probably blooming in the woods too. It's a native tree, and it has a, they're also called June berries, a delicious berry, kind of like a blueberry. And it's a nice fall color. So I've mentioned that several times recently because it's just coming into bloom, and it is, it's one of my favorite trees. So put that on a list of things to add to your yard. Again, get rid of some grass. You know, if you haven't mowed it already, you probably need to mow it soon. And now would be a great time to lay some newspaper and some mulch on top of that and kill some of that grass and cut back on your mowing time. This year, maybe get rid of the grass in the front yard or maybe in the backyard or the side yards and expand some gardens, add more flowers, attract more butterflies, maybe set up a hummingbird garden with salvias and trumpet vine and a bunch of things that might attract those hummingbirds. They love red flowers in particular. And the birdhouse on Monroe Avenue has been doing some talks. I think this morning, maybe at 10 a.m., maybe the one on hummingbirds and Baltimore Orioles. That is, those are two migrating birds that are just showing up here in our area. And they are lots of fun to see. They may not stay. I've seen Baltimore Orioles at neighbors' houses in the spring when they have the, you know, the feeders and things out. But they didn't stay in those yards in our neighborhood. But they do stay around our region. And I've seen a Baltimore Oriole nest at the in Highland Park. They make a very distinctive nest, sort of a basket that sways in the wind up in the trees that usually can't see when the leaves are on the trees. So you'll see it maybe in the fall once the leaves fall. You can see where the Baltimore Oriole nest was. Even it might be very close to you and you didn't even know it was there. Lots of cool things coming up at the birdhouse. Actually, the hummingbird and oriole class is next Saturday. I had the date off April 24th. If you want to learn about orioles and the and hummingbirds, but get those feeders out now, and you may catch some of the migrating ones, have them stop for a little while or maybe stop and stay. A bunch of other workshops coming up at the birdhouse each Saturday morning, a warblers class in May. And today, 10 a.m. till, I don't know, probably 2 p.m. range, Michael Hainan will be at the birdhouse. And he is one of the most knowledgeable people about perennials in New York State, I mean, or the Northeast, maybe. Phenomenal knowledge and always brings some unusual perennials in small pots, so they're pretty inexpensive. Propagates them himself from his little nursery in Laburnum Crescent in Rochester. And so you can get some inexpensive and unusual things to add to your garden. And a good time to plant them once it dries out, at least a day. It's been so wet, so much rain, I would wait to plant till tomorrow. But again, he'll be there at 10 a.m. today, probably till about 2. And he sets up in front of the birdhouse and brings tons of plants each year. And again, these are things that you probably won't find in local garden centers. He prefers to propagate and grow unusual things. And so it's kind of fun to experiment perhaps with some that you I've never heard of. And I would venture that many of the plants he brings you have never heard of, because I've been working in horticulture for a long time, and I've never heard of a whole lot of the plants that he brings in. And there are things that are hardy here, the things that he's grown in his garden. So these are not, you know, if there's anything that's tender, he'll warn you about that. But they are generally, you know, hardy plants that grow here. They're not exotics that, you know, are tropical. Again, unless he'll explicitly tell you that, if any of them are. So some great plants. And he comes, you know, a couple times during the summer to the birdhouse to do the plant sale. And today is the first one of the season. So, you know, ask your questions. You really need to meet him. Fascinating person. And, you know, one of those key people in horticulture in Rochester who is, who you need to meet, you know, and go out of your way to see him. If you belong to a garden club or organization that might want to take a garden tour, he does tours of his gardens on the Burnham Crescent. And I think he said he had something like 600 varieties of plants in his gardens. And, you know, this is a city property. He's gardening a couple of the neighbors' properties also a bit with their permission. And he layers plants unlike anything you've probably ever seen. You know, most gardens, they have plants separated by mulch. Michael doesn't have to ever mulch his gardens because it's just all plants. And the other, one of the cool things that he does is when he's weeding or pruning things back or cutting off some dead parts, he'll just cut those into smaller pieces and leave them where they are to compost. So he doesn't take much out of the garden and throw it away, as many people will do. He's just constantly recycling what's growing in his garden. And it's you can set up tours for organizations or maybe a group of friends or something. You should ask him about that. But it's really great chance to meet him today at the birdhouse. And again, it's 10 a.m. starts this morning till probably about 2. So head over to the birdhouse, Monroe Avenue, right near Clover. Some great people. They've been very helpful in raising monarchs lately, the last couple of years, monarch butterflies. So love the people over there. We'll be back later this morning with the food show, Discover the Finger Lakes, and the grapevine tomorrow. Head over to Highland Park. It is gorgeous right now. It is the most beautiful time of the year at Highland Park, right the next before all the lilacs bloom. And there are some lilacs in bloom. So you may have to look a bit to find them, but there are a bunch of lilacs now blooming early. There always are some in April. Things are blooming earlier than usual, but there always are some lilacs in bloom in April, even in more ordinary years. So let me know what you find, and explore as much of Highland Park as you can, perhaps this weekend and this next week. Have a great day. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's saverlife.com.